At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, is here. And he is based in London, and therefore he consumes the news that Boris Johnson, the tousle-headed Etonian, a man who is extremely well-educated and posh and likes to decorate 11 Downing Street with very high-end furniture, if I understand the controversy, has won a great victory in a by-election in a place called Hartlepool, which is on the eastern coast associated with the Vikings and the Normans and the Anglos and the Saxons and the Romans. In other words, it's an ancient place. And it's been working class labor voting for 57 years. And then Boris Johnson wins a surprise, or maybe not, an inevitable victory with the labor vote and a by-election, crows about it within days. And the labor leader, Keir Starmer, who is articulate and passionate and extremely dour and bookish, is castigated by his own side. But, Joe, is this populism, English version? Is that why they'll reward Boris Johnson despite his unusual class distinctions?
Oh, it's a really interesting question. I mean, what people should understand is that, you know, last Thursday, people across the United Kingdom voted for, you know, thousands of government officials, mainly at the local level. What we're all talking about is this one national parliamentary by-election in the Hartlepool constituency. And what was interesting there is that, that constituency had been held by the Labour Party for decades. And yet it had also voted overwhelmingly to leave the European Union in the 2016 Brexit referendum. And, of course, Brexit is kind of over as a political issue now. It has happened. The UK is out of the EU. Politicians are trying to avoid talking about it as much as possible. And yet what we discovered is that those Labour leavers, the Labour voters in Hartlepool who had also voted to leave the European Union, still haven't quite forgiven the Labour Party that they don't think was really on their side there. So my take on this, from the perspective of a political culture war, is that this shows that, you know, even as some of the specific issues that motivate these populist movements abate, sort of the echo of that will linger. You know, voters will remember which politicians were on which side of those things. And so I think that some of these issues probably aren't going to go away even after it looks like they've gone away.
And Brexit. Yes, you say they don't want to talk about it. It's over. But they're working on it all the time. If I understand, they're shooting fish at each other somewhere near the Jersey Islands. And the French are threatening to cut the electricity off. Some fantastic version of the war between London and Paris. But it turns on Brexit. It turns on the incomplete aspects of Brexit. So the question here is, did Hartlepool vote against Europe, against Brussels, against the French fishing rights? Did Hartlepool vote for Boris Johnson? That translates here, Joe, because are people going to vote against globalism, against Joe Biden's one trillion fits all? Or are they going to vote for a populist dream, something that was wrapped up by Donald Trump, but it can be represented by someone else besides Donald Trump in future?
I think in an interesting way, this was probably actually a pretty personal election. It's kind of hard to tell how much it was motivated specifically by issues. I think it was a matter that those voters still found that they think that Prime Minister Boris Johnson represents them in an important way, which does seem kind of counterintuitive given his background. And by the same token, they found that the Labour Party still does not represent them, even though Labour now has a new leader in Keir Starmer, who is much more centrist and sort of reasonable and realistic than Jeremy Corbyn, who was the leader when Labour fought that disastrous national election campaign in 2019.
Yes, and there's the puzzle. Let's turn to Labour. I'm glad you bring up Keir Starmer. We were entertained a couple of weeks back, as I recall, when a pub owner threw him out of the pub because he said he hadn't stood up for Labour vividly enough. And I understand there's now turmoil in the Labour Party, as there is after every unsuccessful vote. But the question here is, Keir Starmer, if he's a centrist, is that not acceptable to Labour? Is his centrism seen as a weakness? There are suggestions that he is trying for the Blair model of the late 20th century, you know, moving Labour away from the hard left unions and towards something what you'd have to call sort of virtue signaling center. So, Starmer, is he acceptable because he's centrist, or is he now to be castigated because he's centrist?
Well, see, that's going to be the interesting question here. And I think that, you know, Labour is going to have to deal with two different moving parts involving Keir Starmer. And one has to do with policies. And there, I think that they probably do benefit from having a more centrist candidate, because what we discovered after that disastrous 2019 election was that voters really did not believe the radical left-wing policy promises that Starmer's predecessor Jeremy Corbyn was offering in that election. So I think that there is not an appetite for that kind of radical left-wing agenda. Labour probably needs a centrist leader. But then you have this question of what kind of centrist. And I think that, you know, when Starmer came in, he is not from a particularly posh background himself, but he has had a somewhat posh career. He's definitely from the south of the country, and he's always worked as a lawyer and a human rights lawyer to boot. So very much part of the London elite. And some of the centrists that he defeated in the Labour leadership campaign last year, were also centrists, but they were people who came from the north of the country. They speak with accents that are northern accents, which is an issue that British voters in particular will notice, and would have potentially seemed a bit more relatable to voters in that part of the country. So I think that there's going to be this debate about how much of the problem is the policies, and how much of it is just that Labour has had a series of leaders now in Jeremy Corbyn and Keir Starmer who just seem like people who are really disconnected from the experience and the concerns of these voters in former industrial areas of the north of the country that used to be Labour strongholds, but where kind of the urban wing of the party seems to have drifted away from the concerns and even the lives of those voters.
We have less than a minute, Joe, and the fun here is, does any of this translate into our turmoil here, our American political turmoil, the populist, the globalist, the centrist, or is this discontinuous? English politics are standalone from American politics. We have less than a minute.
Well, I think that you can't necessarily draw straight lines, but I think that the important thing is the relatability issue. I think that what we're discovering is that voters think not just about policies, but they think about whether it is a candidate who will really understand them on a basic level. And I think that that is going to be a common feature we'll think more about in the U.S. moving forward, too.
Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. We're going searching for inflation, temporary inflation. No one is scaring anybody. Temporary inflation in America. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.